After I've read my first portion of scripture, I'm going to ask Alethea if she'd come and just share briefly what she has to share with us. So you're all right for a few moments. I have 22 pages of scripture here, so you're okay. It's not too bad. I want to read from Luke 9. And before I read from Luke 9, because I've said many times already this morning, it's about giving thanks. I want to take the opportunity to thanking you, our congregation, friends and colleagues, because, you know, for me, I'm very blessed because I'm financially rewarded for what I love to do. When God got hold of me, it was a privilege to share with his people and to be remunerated for it as an extra blessing. So thank you for your continued support. But more than that, because God's the one that gives. More than that, thank you for your consideration. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the way over this last year in particular you've held Susan and myself up in ways that my words of gratitude cannot simply express. But please, on behalf of myself and Susan, please take those heartwarm thanks of... I'm going to leave it there because you know what I'm like. Luke 9:11, it says this, but the crowds learned about it and followed him. Jesus was working signs, wonders, and miracles. The crowds got to hear about it. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And that's what we want to do week by week, speak about the kingdom of God. And he healed those that needed healing. And that's something to be reminded of, that God is our all-sufficiency. He is our healer too. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away. They can go to their surrounding villages and countryside and they can find themselves some food and some lodging because we are in a remote place. Now, this next few sentences really gripped me some years ago. Starting at verse 13, he said, Jesus replied, you give them something to eat. And that got me thinking within my own situation. Have you ever said, someone ought to do something about that? Someone ought to do that. You see a mess on the floor, someone ought to clear that up. You see a situation, someone ought to do that. Well, Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And that really struck a chord with me. Because for me, sometimes I can give physical food. I can give of the blessing that God's given me, but there are times that I can also give of the spiritual food that God's given me. I spoke to you, I think it was last week, about the opportunity I had when I was visiting Rachel in hospital to speak to a young man who was heartbroken at the loss of his family. His mother and his father had died and he didn't know what to do. And I had the opportunity to feed him God's word, to simply say, God loves you. But in this situation, we're talking about physical food. And Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And they answered, we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And sometimes for you and me in our situation and circumstance, someone can say, you ought to do that. And we can say the same thing. But when God says it, he knows that you have the capabilities of providing. You may only have a few of something. But if we read on, we will see where the miracle comes. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd, there's about 5,000 men, without the women and the children. But he said to his disciples, have them sit down on the ground in groups of 50. The disciples did so, and everyone sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks, and he broke them. And he gave them to the disciples to distribute. And if you know the story, everybody had their fill. And if we look at this portion of scripture, 2 things that really stand out to me is you give them something to eat and give thanks. So if we, through this next year, through this day even, and going into this next season of 2018, as scary as it is, if we take what God has already given us, If we take the provision, whether it's small or whether it's medium or whether it's large, and we give thanks for what we already have, Scripture tells us, not just here, but right through the Bible, as we give God what is due to God, He brings the multiplication. So wherever you are, if it's love that you need, have that love for God and He'll fill your heart. If it's companionship, friendship, as you draw close to Him, He will draw close to you. If it's financial provision, Lord, I am thankful. For Susan and I, we have a journey. We've had an absolute incredible journey. We were sharing with some people a little while ago how we would, my son actually last night, we were talking about family. And we shared with him how we used to sit down and pray for food because we never had any. My income was very, very low and I had debts coming out of my ears and I couldn't pay for things. And we became Christians and I remember Susan on her knees saying, Lord, I have no food to feed my family. And the miracle came. And I want to suggest the miracle came because we gave God thanks for what we already had. Lord, thank you for our family. Thank you for the roof over our heads. So just using this portion of scripture, please take two things from it. You may take more. One, God may ask you to meet the need. And when you feel inadequate to meet that need, thank God for what He's given you, and I guarantee you He will bring the increase. Alethea. She says to me, Alethea, I have not spoken in public before. I said, don't let that stop you. So she may be nervous. But we're on night, yes? So into the microphone.
I've never even held one before.
There you go. Do you want me to hold it for you?
No. I have 4 pages, so I hope it won't be too long. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's not a problem. I'd rather you share your testimony.
Okay, this is on then? Okay. Pastor Andrew has said many times that we here at Grace... I'm sorry.
There you go.
No. Are a family, and family shares in the good and in the bad. Whenever he says that, I immediately think of a verse that has meant a lot to me over the past 5 years, which is Romans 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, or some translations, mourn with those who mourn. To explain why this verse means so much to me, I first must tell you a little bit about myself. As you all know, or have just now figured out, I'm not from here. I am from America. I was born and raised in Washington State. My whole life was spent in the same city as or no farther than 5 hours from my family, my brother, my parents, best friend, and most of my extended family. So in 2012, when my husband's job sent us to live in Stuttgart, Germany for 3 years, it was quite an adjustment for everyone. Prior to our move, I spent a lot of time in prayer, asking God to help us settle into a new country and adapt to a new culture. While it was very hard at first, God did answer my prayers, and we began enjoying our adventure in Germany. We found a new church that we would call home for the next 3 years, and we started to feel more at ease. Unfortunately, just 7 months after our move, and only 4 months after we found our new church, I got the call that my only sibling, my 34-year-old brother, had unexpectedly died. While we were happy that we were able to go back to the States and be with my family for a few weeks, after returning to Germany, I quickly realized that I could not deal with Jason's death alone. I knew God was the only one that could help me through this hard time, and I had to rely on Him. I began reading materials from a Christian-based grief support program, and I worked on my grief. Through my grief work, I realized I was not mad at God for Jason's death, but rather I was mad at God for His timing of his death. For 30 years, I lived really close to my family, and nothing happened. But 7 months after I move across the world is when I am left to deal with this heartbreak. Even though I didn't like God's timing, I always trusted in His plan for me, and I praised Him for His goodness. As time went on, I started to be okay with my new life without my brother. I felt like I grieved in a healthy way, which followed the Christian way of doing it. I was so confident in my ability to grieve correctly that when we found out we were moving to England, I had the idea that once we were settled and in a new church, I would propose the idea of leading or supporting a bereavement class. Last year, God showed me that was my plan, but it was not His. Last summer, we were living in England for about 1 year. We had been attending Grace 5, maybe 6 months. So once again, we're in a new country getting settled. We just found a new church. And on July 30th, 2016, my dad died by suicide. As you can imagine, I was not happy with God's timing once again. I remained very busy the first few months after his death, but around October or November, the busyness wore off and the reality of his death set in. Because I was an expert in Christian grieving, I expected everything that worked for me with my brother's death would work for me this time around. I was wrong. When I read my grief support materials, or opened up my Bible, or tried to pray, I did not feel God's comfort or love as I previously had. I felt anger. Anger towards God for putting me, my girls, and my husband through this. Anger towards my dad for leaving his family. And anger towards my brother for not being alive to help me sort out my dad's affairs. Thank you. Thank you. My faith was completely shattered. The only thing I had left was hope. I knew that praising God during difficult times was possible. I had experienced that when Jason died. So I held on to the hope that one day I would feel God's love and comfort again. Going to church for me was very hard. During worship, I no longer felt the words in my body. They were just words that were on the screen. The sermons didn't touch me anymore. It was like Andrew was speaking a foreign language. And sometimes your English is a foreign language to me. I would leave church feeling exhausted and frustrating. I knew that I just needed time to work through my feelings. And I am so thankful that Andrew and Susan supported me and gave me the space that I needed without making me feel like a bad Christian. In fact, Susan often told me times that it was all in God's timing, and she had no idea how God's timing was probably the hardest thing I had to deal with. It was the welcoming, loving feeling that everyone here gives that made me want to come back. Although church was very hard to attend, I did get something out of it every time I came. During worship, I could see the love and feelings others had for God. When someone would share their testimony or a story of praise, I could see that God was good to them during hard times. All of that strengthened my hope that one day I would feel God's presence again. It has now been almost 1.5 years since my dad's death, and through intense therapy, medication, my husband's patience, and God's unconditional love for me, I am in a much better place. My relationship with God is continuing to get stronger as I put my trust in him and find peace in his timing. I say that 2017 was my year of hope, and much of that hope came from a church family who knows how to rejoice with those who rejoice, but also weep with those who weep. So I thank you all.
It has been said. It has been said that I don't make any sense. I really don't want to follow that, to be honest. I think at a time like this, and the good thing about this church is we trust that when someone brings something, we trust them to bring it, so we don't vet. I will say this. There's been a couple of things that have been placed on my heart this last coming year. And you know that I struggle with natural things sometimes. But when God's in it, then I believe that all things are possible. And two of the things that have been opened up to me, I believe is going to be happening this next year, is I've been invited to join the Board of Trustees on the Norwich Mental Health Trust. And that's something I'm going to take up. And when it comes to bereavement counselling, that's something that I feel that I'm gifted in. And I'd like you to pray about that. And these two things can only happen because of, as I said before, the generosity of this church in releasing me and Susan to move forward in God's plans. We'll go to a portion of scripture and I'll finish on this. I'll leave you with this rather than bring what else I have down here. Let me just give me a few moments to find it. Because I think it's poignant. It's one of the things where I can see everything in front of me, but I can read nothing. So please bear with me. I think if we're going to say anything to finish this year, it needs to be this. After a testimony, after the opportunity through worship and praise to say, Lord, thank you. It's this portion of scripture, Isaiah 61, starting at verse 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. You need to put your name there. The Lord has anointed you to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent you, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives, the release from darkness of the prisoners. Sometimes in corporate life, sometimes in church journey, we can be so consumed with what is not happening that we miss what is happening. And I was very encouraged when Alethea agreed to bring her testimony, because that encapsulates the vision of this church. And I know, sadly, at some point you're going to be leaving us to go back to America, unless we pray really hard and God changes his mind. Noel, you're going to be leaving us to help sow, and maybe that vision that you have for helping other people will be birthed from this scripture, that you can take it back to America and say, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to preach good news, to proclaim this good news to poor people, those that are impoverished by their lifestyle and the fact that they may be aggressive towards God, that God wants to use me, he wants to use you to bind up the brokenhearted and set the captives free. And there are many, many people locked within mental health issues, within bereavement issues, within life experiences. There's many people who are trapped, whether they're the wealthiest 10% or the poorest 10%. We all share this common theme where life grabs hold of us and tries to twist and distort. And for me and for you as Christians, God is the only one that can unravel that knot. God is the only one that can bring the agitation that will cause us to be stirred up. Many years ago, my mum had a twin tub. It was about, well, I was about this big, so that was about that big. But it was quite tall anyway. And I remember saying to my mum as I stood on the step and looked in, "What's that?" And as I looked into the twin tub, it was doing this. And Mum said, "It's an agitator." And believe it or not, I said, "I want to be an agitator." And here I am, stirring things up. Because what the agitator did was, as it moved, it stirred up the clothing inside and the dirt was dislodged, yeah? So when we start to preach God's word, we agitate. We stir up. And we cause some of the dirt and the debris to come away from ourselves and away from people. So can I leave you at the end of this year, 2017, and say as we go into 2018, this is the day of salvation. This is the year of the favor of the Lord. This portion of scripture, take some time to read it and let God speak to you through it. And then maybe you'll see the revelation that I saw many years ago on a stage in America when God called me into ministry. Maybe you'll see why this portion of scripture is so important to me and to us as a church. Maybe as you read through it, you will say, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of the vengeance of our God, but to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning. And I know some of your stories, and I know some of you are still grieving. A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. We can bring that garment. We've been clothed with righteousness, the Bible says, yes? God gives us, when we talk about praise, it says put on a garment of praise, and it's something we have to tangibly do. So for Alethea, there was times that she had to come into church and tangibly put on that garment of praise, because everything in her did not want to give thanks. And sometimes you're going to have to do that. But can I suggest also that you can take that garment off and you can wrap it around someone else. You can say, listen, God loves me. And you might not know him, but I know him. And I want to love you. They will be called oaks of righteousness. People that have a right standing with God. A planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. We do what we do so God gets the glory. They will rebuild the ancient ruins, restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities. Listen, when we look at the churches that have been in ruins, when we look at the cities that have been in ruins, when we look through scripture and we see the rebuilding of the walls, they built with the rubble that was on the floor. Nothing is wasted with God. Things that seem to be devastated can be renewed through me and through you. Verse 5, strangers will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and your vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. When the temple was torn in two, it said, it is finished. We now have access. Yes, we have access into God's throne room. That means we are like priests. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Scripture says, strangers, as I said, will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. You will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of the nation. Scripture says, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And in their riches, you will boast instead of your shame. You will receive a double portion instead of disgrace. You will rejoice in your inheritance. You will rejoice in your inheritance. God has given us life and life eternal. And so you will inherit a double portion in your land. And everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, their offspring among the peoples. Of all who see them will acknowledge that they are people that the Lord has blessed. I'll leave it there. Jackie, if you'd come up. All that see us will acknowledge that we are people that God has blessed. And one of the greatest blessings is when God enables us to walk with him through the valley experiences. You know what? If life was all good, we wouldn't need God, would we? If we got every prayer answered the way we wanted it answered, we wouldn't need God. If every situation happened the way that we wanted it to happen, we wouldn't need God. But it doesn't. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that seems to be dark. But the Bible says that when the light of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ shines, it's a light that shines in the darkness. Scripture says, where there is light, there can be no darkness. So wherever it is in your life that you may feel there's a darkness, let God's love shine a light. I tend to use my pen for that. Ooh, run out of battery. But not this one. There's a backup. So where there's darkness, the light shines. I'll use anything, me. So let the light of the love of God shine in your heart. And if you know that you're living next door to somebody that's going through pain, you feed them. You give them something to eat. If you're living near somebody who needs an arm of encouragement, you be that encouragement this next year. You may say to yourself, and you may not, you may go, but I can't do what you do. I can't lead worship, but you can worship within. You can let people see Christ in you, because the Bible said Christ says Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me, Lethea, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And because Christ is in you and he's manifest through your family, when you needed Josh to be strong, he could be strong. Why? Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. When Phil came back from America and he started a new job, he has natural abilities, but it's Christ in him, the hope of glory. So we heard in that testimony that this was a year of hope for Alethea. Well, this is a year of hope for you. Whatever you walk through, be assured that Christ is with you. Whatever you walk through, be assured that if you choose to be part of this fellowship, this family, we'll walk with you too. Because where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of us. When two agree on anything, there it is in Jesus' name. That's why for me it's a pleasure, it's a passion to be able to proclaim his truth. to be able to sit in hospital with someone who has a mental health issue, to be able to sit with people who have just lost a loved one and cry and mourn with them so that they can see Christ in me. I will finish there, honestly. Jackie, just...